Welcome, welcome, welcome back to Studio B, Season 2.
Season 2.
Aren't you excited?
Yes, I'm very excited.
I'm so excited. I think we have something to tell everyone, though.
Okay, what is that?
We are no longer in Studio B.
We are not, which is kind of sad, but...
However,
it is an upgrade.
It is an upgrade. We are now in a new audio studio on campus that is not as hot, does not smell as weird.
Yes, I feel great.
And the equipment was made after the year 2000.
Yeah.
So
it's a little, to an extent, a little bit outdated, but you know, it still works.
It's okay.
But
yeah. I still love that studio. It's a little far away.
I wasn't a big fan
of walking up the hill, but we're back better than ever. This is season two of Studio B. We're so excited that you're listening with us. We have a new person on the podcast this semester.
We do.
Drum roll, please.
Drum roll.
Meg Askew. Meg, say hi.
Hi. I'm Meg Askew.
Yeah.
I'm the producer now.
Needs no introduction. Meg is our wonderful producer. We're all college students, so we're pretty busy. And Meg is here to keep us on track.
Yeah. And you're talking about a great job.
Yeah.
We needed this person.
We needed this person. Yeah. I'm so happy that she is on the podcast now and is going to make this as efficient as possible. And gosh, she's just fun to be around. I'm happy she's here. Yep. And then we've got Colton, who's still going to be editing.
Yep.
And we just talked to Leah Wilson.
Leah Wilson, our first. Yes. What a privilege
to
have the very first person on, Leah Wilson.
I know. We only had two episodes last semester, and we're going to have a ton more this season.
Yeah, we're going to get the ball rolling.
And this one's going to be hard to beat. This is the first episode out of the bat. And she puts her whole heart into talking about the work that she's doing, because she puts her whole heart into everything. Peyton, how was your summer?
My summer, I would say that, kind of not being, you know, dumb it out, but, you know, my summer was kind of boring to an extent. You know, I did the norm stuff, kind of the normal things.
I try to go to
the beach.
Yeah.
I got to go twice. Once we stayed for like 5 days, and then the second time we went back, we stayed for like 2 or 3.
Okay.
I guess we just love the beach that much.
Yeah.
But after about a week, I'm ready to come back home.
Yeah.
So I'm a homebound type of person. So
yeah.
And I try to go home most of the time, like on the weekends, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you know, go back home. Which I live an hour away. So
yeah.
You know. But yeah, cool. What about you? Let's hear your summer.
You got sick of being at the beach for a week.
Yeah.
I worked at a summer camp for 8 weeks.
Okay. How'd that go? Did you enjoy it?
I didn't have cell service.
Oh, well.
However, it was so nice to put the phone down and to like look at the clouds. You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
sometimes it's hard.
It was so busy.
Because
like, think about like having like a retreat center and then like filling it with 400 kids. It's like super crazy.
Oh, yeah.
But, so many joys and some challenges, you know, of just making sure that like these kids from all over have the best week of their summer.
Yeah.
And
I'd say that made you feel great.
Oh my gosh, it was awesome.
Yeah.
I did media, go figure. And so I just followed groups around all day and took pictures and videos and got to hang out with them and talk to them.
That's right up your alley.
I loved it. I was so excited to do that and to go back next year and hopefully do it too.
Hopefully do it again.
I learned what satellite internet was this summer. I've heard people talk about it, and I thought it was always like the Tesla, like Elon Musk, like Starlink, you know?
Yeah.
Like, no, this is like, if it's cloudy, you don't have internet. Or if it's raining, you don't have internet.
Whoa.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I had to learn how to use a landline.
Oh,
this summer.
Oh.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I know. I'm like, what? Yeah.
Dang. Well, you
this
know,
was a
you
summer know, of exploration.
Hey,
for me.
Well, I mean, you know more than me now. So
yeah. Hey, I can teach you a thing or two. You got to pick up the receiver first and then dial.
Okay. Well, that just sounds like too much work.
Which
I probably should know. I mean, a young guy has an old soul.
Is this weird? I'm 20 years old and I've never mailed a letter.
I want to say I don't think I have either. So
no wonder. Yeah. Like we do this together. Meg is in here laughing.
Did you guys have a pen pal?
No, I've never had a pen pal.
Multiple pen pals.
Oh, wow.
You guys never sent a letter.
No.
That's crazy. Having a pen pal is really fun.
I remember doing Flat Stanley, but like my teacher sent it off. And
yeah. The teacher would always take, you know.
My vendetta, too, is that my Flat Stanley never came back. Yeah. I remember the day that it was probably second or third grade. We all sent our stuff out, and then like everybody got pictures of their Flat Stanley, and I got like a weird handwritten letter that looked like it came back from a serial killer. And then, I never saw my Flat Stanley again. So I know he is out there living it up. You know what? Maybe my Flat Stanley was, is out there in one of the countries that our guest Leah visited today.
I know. You know what's crazy? It's awesome to talk to somebody and you kind of, you know, view from their point, like through their eyes of where they've been. And it sounded like she was all over the place. It was 400 and some days?
400 and 50 something days, yeah, quit their jobs, sold their house,
and they went and they explored the
world. We won't spoil too much. Here is our amazing interview with the amazing Lee Wilson. Hey, welcome to Studio B, the Emory and Henry College Bonner Scholar Podcast. Join Ryan and Peyton as they discuss themes of place, community, and common ground.
This is Studio B.
Here we are. We're sitting down with Leah Wilson, one of my favorite people on campus at Emory and Henry College.
You're so sweet. Thank you.
This is exciting. This is exciting. I can't wait. We're, you know, first person on podcast.
Season two. Yes.
I'm the first one.
Yes.
For season two. Yeah. How does that feel?
Oh my God. I feel really special and important.
You should. We are so lucky to be able to sit down with you today. Where are you right now?
I am in my office at the Appalachian Center for Civic Life, the best place to be on campus.
Correct. That's right.
Possibly the world. But there are some amazing people in there. And we're talking to one of those amazing people today. Leah, can you tell us a little bit about how you got here? I know you've had an awesome life so far.
Yeah, so far it's been pretty good. Hopefully I've got a lot more years left to live. But how did I get here? Well, so I grew up in Damascus, Virginia, just over the hill a little bit. And when I was growing up, from about the time I was in seventh grade till I graduated high school, we came to a program here at Emory and Henry, where we would come and do like a week-long camp and stay on campus and do a bunch of different programs. And it was so much fun. And little did I know at the time, but come to find out, it was hosted by the Appalachian Center. So I did not know that, but I say all of that to say that Emory and Henry has been a part of my life for a long time. And so it's really cool to be working back here. But before I got back here, I first went to college at High Point University in North Carolina. And then I moved to Phoenix, Arizona, where I joined Teach for America. They placed me there in Phoenix to teach middle and high school math. So I stayed out there for 8 years. And then decided about 3 years left, or like 5 years into my 8 year experience in Phoenix, to save up a bunch of money with my partner. And we decided to, at the end of that 3 years and the saving time, to sell our house and quit our jobs and travel the world. So we traveled abroad for 450 days. And went to 36 different countries. Wow. And yeah, it was truly incredible. So then we came back here. That was September of 2019. Lucky for us, like right before COVID. But I kind of always knew in the back of my head I would come back to Damascus, the place that I call home. So I came back here and kind of worked some odd jobs for a while, and then decided to get back into education, which led me full circle back here to the Appalachian Center at Emory and Henry.
That is so awesome. Have you like ever thought about writing a book about your 300 and, you know, there's 36 countries?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Not a book. Okay. We did
maybe
have
a podcast.
A podcast. Ooh. Would have been such a good idea. Okay. We did have a blog, but we didn't do a good job really keeping up with it. We were super into it in the beginning and then not so much. But Tyler, my partner, is a videographer. Wow. And so the second half of our trip, he got a GoPro. And so he was documenting our trip by making little videos. Yeah, you can actually find them. His Instagram thing is We Ran There. Wow. We Ran There 2019, maybe. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Do you have like a specific memory or story from this excursion you all went on that like every time you think of this, you think back to that one moment?
Oh, what a great question, Ryan. Okay. So, I mean, there's so much, right? I'm just lots of memories popping into my head, some good, some challenging, but one place that like keeps popping up when I look back on that experience is this cool little campground that we stayed at. It wasn't even a campground. It was actually somebody's farm and a big field, that they put up on this app that we used to travel, as a place for people to come and camp. And that was in England, outside of the Peak District in England. And so when Tyler and I were in England, we bought a camper van. His name was Roger. And so we used Roger for, I guess it was about 4 months of our travel. So we, of course, traveled all around the UK and then took the ferry over to mainland Europe and did tons of countries in Roger in Europe, and then ferried back to England and sold Roger at the end of our travels. So a lot of times when I think back about us traveling, memories pop up of us in our camper van. And we repeatedly came back to this super peaceful campground, field, farm. They had fresh eggs and we would buy fresh eggs and just like hike around their farm. And it was really special. So that brings back some good feelings thinking about that.
Yeah, this sounds like a Wes Anderson movie. That is really awesome. So you did that. And then right when you came back is when the whole COVID thing hit. So I imagine there was a lot of uncertainty, right, about mm-hmm. exactly what was going to happen, but you were landed home. And yep. How did the process of you working in the app center, did you originally apply to work in the app center? Did you apply otherwhere at the college? How did that work out?
Yeah, so again, I was working kind of odd jobs when I first got back, and living with my brother until Tyler and I found a house of our own, literally 1 mile away from my father and 1 mile away from my brother. So we're all right there nestled together. And so I was primarily working like marketing at ServPro and like literally cleaning people's houses and like responding to disasters in people's homes. It was not a super fun job, but I had decided while we were traveling that I wasn't sold on going back into teaching, especially at the level that I had taught at before, which was middle and high school. It's just a lot. Like, shout out to all the teachers out there doing it and who survived COVID and who are still doing it. That's amazing. But then after taking some extended time away from education, I realized like, I got to get back out there. I've got to get back into education because it's my heart. And I think it's my passion. So as hard as I tried to stay away, here I am. And I actually had a friend who found this job that somebody had posted on Facebook and was like, hey, this job has to be made for you. And so I read the job description of the coordinator of civic life at the Appalachian Center. And I was like, that is definitely made for me. Yeah. So I applied and here we are.
That is awesome. Can you tell us a little bit about the work you're doing right now in the Appalachian Center, some projects and things you've got going on?
Yes. I hope you have a lot of time because there's so much happening. So one big, really important thing coming up is intentional fall break. So I'm super pumped for that. That will be, of course, over fall break, October 13th through the 16th. And it's anybody's welcome to come. You don't have to be a Bonner Scholar or a CIVIN major. Anybody can join who is just sticking around during fall break and doesn't have other plans. We will be partnering with the Blue Ridge Discovery Center And we'll be going up there and participating in and helping with their fall naturalist rally. So they put on these naturalist rallies every season. They're open to members of the community, all ages, and they just do a bunch of outdoor education, talk about different, or they take different hikes, look at different species, plants, animals, all the things. It's really exciting. So we get to participate in that, but we also get to help by serving food, cleaning up for meals, helping with guest registration, helping with childcare. So it's really a win-win because they have expressed a really big need for putting this event on so we can help provide that need, but we also get to learn and do with them. So if anybody's interested in that, they can A, email me, B, there's flyers all over campus. You can scan the QR code to sign up. There are 12 total spots available. I think last time I checked, we might have 10 spots still available. The next interest meeting for that will be two Wednesdays from now, so September 28th at 6 p.m.
Awesome.
Yeah,
I imagine you have
plenty more if you want to hear more, but
I think that kind of gives us a good snapshot of the work that the important work that you're doing. And I imagine your calendar is pretty full.
Booked. Yeah, right? Pretty full. Yeah, a lot. Yeah, most of the time. Speaking, you know, upon you're at the Civic for Life Center now, and the App Center. What was your mindset that changed from like a traditional style of in the classroom teaching to now where, you know, that you're at now?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, I mean, ultimately, I knew I didn't want to go back to the classroom in that traditional sense. But again, when I read that the job description for this, I was like, what a perfect combination of a way to still interact with and be involved with students, especially in this role. I'm very student facing, a lot of student outreach. You know, I'm the advisor for lots of different student organizations. So I knew it would be a great opportunity to still be able to interact with students, which is what I love the most about teaching, without, you know, grading papers. And also the civic engagement component, you know, service and being involved in community has always been important to me. And now I get paid to do that and get to do that alongside students who care about that and are eager to have these opportunities. So it really is like the dream job. So I'm really thankful for that. And I get to teach a little bit here too. And it's very different than teaching at a middle and high school. You know, the schedule's different. The students are different. You know, I'm not dealing with behaviors in the classroom. It's just students who want to be here and really want to learn.
Yeah, that's awesome. You mentioned the interactions you have, like inside, outside the classroom, through the App Center. I was wondering if you could tell us of a time, like of an interaction that you had, because you are sort of newer, you know, coming in post-COVID in that swing of things. So is there like an interaction that you've had that you're like, this is where I'm supposed to be, you know? Have you had one of those moments?
Oh man, so many. You know, lots of those with one-on-one kind of students. But I think the time where I really felt last semester that I kind of found my groove in what this job entailed, what would have actually been at the spring break, the intentional spring break that I planned. We had 13 students participate in that. It was a 3-day experience and it was an intense experience. We crammed a lot into 3 days. We were together those 3 days for like 24 hours straight. It felt like we did a lot of, you know, team building and connecting and just really getting to know each other while we were also serving alongside of each other. And I remember at the closing reflection time of that experience, just some of the things that the students were able to share and I was able to hear about what they got out of this experience, of how connected they felt to themselves and to each other and really importantly to this place, which is a really important place to me, and it was Southwest Virginia, was really powerful for me to hear. And so I walked away from that feeling really energized and like I had really found my place here and wanting to carry that forward into other projects and programs.
That is so awesome. Oh my goodness. Yeah, it's kind of like a, I remember looking at the pictures of that and just seeing that. And you have some more scheduled, right? You have intentional fall break and then intentional spring break.
Yep. Right?
Is that on the calendar? Am I giving it away? What's happening?
You're not giving it away. Okay. The plan is to still have opportunity. I will share that I am expecting. I know lots of you know that, but and my baby is due in February. So thank you. I will hopefully still be able to plan an opportunity and then just find other staff to be able to support it the week of. But I don't think I will take my, you know, like 1 or 2 month old baby out to do manual labor, but maybe.
Yeah. My next question is, I think one of the biggest things that the community and outside world has seen that you had a big part in was the service plunge that happened at this year's Week of Welcome. I missed out on the service plunge. We didn't have one my year and I was kind of sad about it. But as you can tell, I'm kind of servicing in other ways. But can you tell us a little bit about the service plunge this year and the impact that that had?
Yeah. Service plunge was awesome. And yes, it was a big undertaking. I was able to be right in the middle of all of that. Lots of planning. I started that planning process back in February, and you know, it took place in August. So there was a lot that went into it. I had a lot of help from, of course, the fellow staff here at the Appalachian Center and Fred George, who's amazing. We had over 400 students and they were sent out to 20 different service locations, a few of which were on campus and the majority of which were in the surrounding community. We sent students to Marion, to Adkins, to Abingdon, Bristol, Damascus, Troutdale. We were all over the place. And it was amazing what these students were able to do for our community partners who a lot of times lack the time and resources and manpower to be able to get these kinds of projects done. A lot of it is some physical, you know, manual labor that might at first seem like, oh, this is just busy work or we're wasting time. But again, these organizations don't have the capacity to do this type of thing. And it's so important that we're able to provide that service so that then they can serve the community to the best of their ability, you know, throughout the rest of the year.
That's so awesome. I think Emory and Henry is special for a lot of reasons, but for over 400 students to go out in the community and give back, I think we get some points in that, in that section.
I think so too, especially because it's those students like what second or third day they've ever stepped foot on this campus.
Yeah.
And here they go. So it's amazing.
Since, you know, you've mentioned that, you know, there's so much that you've, you know, done for the App Center and, you know, the App Center's, you know, continuously, keeps doing, you know, what's the plan next? You know, what's down the road that you're like, hey, you know, this is really what I want to do. This is, you know, something different that, you know, that I want to be a part in.
I'm always trying to think of that. That's a hard question, but I think that as I get more comfortable here, and I have more opportunities to teach different courses, I would like to be able to incorporate more civic engagement projects in my own courses. I'm doing that a little bit this year with my Core 100. I'm partnering with the Damascus Trail Center to help make some itineraries and like brochures for different experiences that visitors could have. But it's kind of just like a small project, not to diminish it, but I want to expand that in the future. So I think I needed to kind of baby step towards that personally, but that's one thing. And then like similar to that is being able to help other professors do that same thing in their courses. I work with Megan Hamilton a lot, and her and I have been working on an initiative called Beyond Service Plunge. And so it's essentially that, you know, Core 100 courses start with their Service Plunge experience, and then a handful of them have opted in to Beyond Service Plunge, which partners them with their Service Plunge community partner throughout the entire semester on a like a collaborative project. So we're just beginning that. So far, the projects are going great, but that's definitely something I want to continue to build on.
That is so awesome. Leah, thank you so much for joining us today. We are at the end of our time together. We are so looking forward to seeing the work that you are doing now and that you're continuing to do. And gosh, we are just so lucky to have you here.
All right.
Thank you all. Y'all are awesome. You keep up the good work too.
We will. Awesome. Thank you, Leah.
All right. You're welcome. Bye.